Today I want to talk, as I said, about a high priority 2012 resolution. Now God's going to be number one, right? But another high priority resolution for 2012 is this. It's release. Releasing your offender of the offense he committed against you. You know, as you go about life, and you've heard me say this before, as you go about life, your daily activities, operating here at the shelter, walking down the street, shopping, working, you're going to run into contact with people. And there's going to be people out there that are going to say and do things that don't quite sit right with you. Anybody ever been there? Where somebody just rubs you the wrong way. They get under your skin, right? I've been there, and I bet you've been there, right? Maybe somebody jokes about your weight. Maybe you've been trying to lose weight, and they're like, man, Jack, Joe, whatever your name might be, looks like you put on 10 or 20 pounds, and you're like, man, how could he say that to me? I've been trying to lose weight, and he's telling me that I gained weight. Maybe a long-lost friend says this to you, right? Or maybe somebody joked about your mom in the past. Maybe there's somebody you've been trying to reach by telephone, and they won't return your calls. They won't return your emails, your texts. Maybe you lent somebody money, and they won't pay you back. Maybe somebody slandered your reputation to the boss, lied about you. Maybe somebody called judgment down on your life. And so somebody has offended you in some way. Maybe it was a spouse of the past that offended you in some way. We all get offended, and offenses will come in life. Now, here's a word of caution. If you allow the offense to take a hold of the soil of your heart and you nurture that offense, that seed of offense, if somebody joked about your weight or your family member or somebody didn't pay back that money or somebody lied about you, and you take that seed of offense and you plant it in the soil of your heart and you nurture it. How do you nurture a seed of offense? How do you nurture an apple seed? You water it, right? You put it in the sunlight. You take care of it, right? How do you nurture a seed of offense? You talk about the offense. You think about the offender. You tell other people about the offense. And you talk to other people about your offender. And if you do that constantly, focused on that offense, that seed of offense could become a root of bitterness in your life. And a root of bitterness not only negatively affects you, it affects a lot of other people in your sphere of influence. Hebrews 12:15, the writer says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God," Hebrews 12:15, "and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Did you know if you're dealing with bitterness on the inside, not only are you negatively affected, but it defiles many other people in your circle? Happened last October of 2011. Prosecutor, revenge was motive in Salon Massacre, Santa Ana, California. Prosecutor said it was revenge and a desire to kill his ex-wife that drove a man to go on a deadly shooting rampage at a Southern California salon, leaving 8 people dead and another critically wounded. Shaking with emotion at a news conference Friday, Orange County's top prosecutor, Tony R., vowed to seek the death penalty against the Ione suspect Scott Decra I as details emerged about the grisly scene at Salon Meritage. So he went and killed a bunch of people because he was upset at his wife. So when you're upset, when you get angry, when you get bitter and it turns into hatred, not only does it hurt you, but you end up hurting a bunch of other people. Is that making sense today? All right. Now, there are negative results to unforgiveness. Some negative things that can happen in life concerning unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. Like we talked about, other people could be hurt, right, in our sphere. Another thing, it could stop and block blessings. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6 talks about Michal, David's wife. 2 Samuel 6 verses 12 through 16. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, verse 16 of 2 Samuel 6, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. She was offended that David was dancing this way before the Lord, his own wife, right? Michal, David's wife, was offended at him for dancing before the Lord concerning the ark of God. Verse 20, jump down to verse 20, and it says this. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would do." So we agree that Michal was offended, right, by David's behavior. David said to Michal in verse 21, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children. She had no children till the day of her death. That's the key. She was offended that David danced before the Lord concerning the ark of God. And she had no children till the day of her death. Now, for a woman, what is probably the biggest blessing that a woman could receive? All women love to have what? Children. This woman was barren till the day of her death. You see, because she was offended and bitter at what David did, it choked up the blessing of God from flowing into her life. And she didn't have children. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, that if you walk in bitterness and offense toward your offenders, it can also choke up the blessing of God from flowing into your life. I don't want that to happen to me. How about you? I want God's blessing, His favor, His prosperity to flow into my life. But in order to do so, I've got to do what to my offenders? What have we got to do? We've got to do what? We've got to let it go, release it, forgive. There's a couple of other things that could happen if you're walking in bitterness. You know, if you're walking in bitterness, you create like a prison in your own life. A couple of different prisons I want to talk about real quick. Then we'll get to the real good news. You could create yourself a prison of mental torture where you think about that offense and you think about it over and over. And I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did that to me a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And you think about it repeatedly. And what you do is you find yourself mentally tortured. You find yourself in a prison of mental torture, not being able to sleep at night. Another thing you can do if you walk in bitterness and unforgiveness is you create an emotional prison for your life. People who are bitter and unforgiving are depressed. I've been there before. Depression is not fun. I don't want to be there again. How about you? You create yourself an emotional prison if you're walking in bitterness toward an offender, where you think about that offense over. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe my grandfather did this to me 25, 30 years ago. And you think about it, and think about it, and think about it. You get depressed in your emotions to the point where you don't want to meet with anybody. You don't want to eat. You don't want to get up in the morning. You're just a wreck emotionally. I don't want to be there. How about you? So in order to avoid these negative repercussions of bitterness, what do we have to do with bitterness? We have to uproot it with a tool called, the brother said it before, called what? Forgiveness. You have to uproot any root of bitterness with a tool called forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is release, letting it go. If you feel that your offender has a debt against you, owes you money, owes you an apology, what does forgiveness say to do? Forgiveness says release them of that debt. They owe you money, just bless them in Jesus' name. If you even feel that they owe you an apology, release them of having to give you an apology. Forgiveness is release. It's letting your offender go of the debt that you feel he or she owes you. Is that making sense today? We've got to uproot bitterness with this grace, this discipline, this spiritual discipline called forgiveness. Now, I'm going to read you an account here in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It's an interesting account. I really haven't talked about this in the past, but I felt prompted to do it today. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went down to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women." Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Just bent down, started to write on the ground. In the sand, in the dirt, whatever it might have been. While they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has anyone condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This woman, caught in the act of adultery, committed an offense. What was the offense?
Separation.
The offense was that she was caught in the act of adultery. People caught her in the actual act of adultery. She went against the law of Moses. So she was behaving offensively to those who caught her. She was behaving offensively toward the law of Moses. And these people who caught her were ready to stone her to death. Ready to stone her to death because they created it, because she committed a great offense ultimately against God. So everybody else, every other human was ready to stone her to death, but not Jesus, God the Son. What did Jesus say to her? What did he say? He said, "If any one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." In other words, Jesus was saying, you know what, guys? You all have some form or fashion of sin in your life that you could even be stoned for. And you're wanting this woman to be stoned. And Jesus didn't operate like these people were operating, right? How did Jesus operate? He operated in a spirit and an attitude of forgiveness. He bent down, wrote in the ground, and I wonder what he was writing on the ground that day. Who knows? But Jesus said, "Woman, where are they? Has anyone condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." What was Jesus demonstrating to this woman caught in adultery? He was demonstrating forgiveness. You know, Jesus knew that she had offended the bystanders, the people who caught her in the act. Jesus knows that she had offended the law of Moses. Jesus knows that in the act of adultery she offended God. But what did Jesus decide to do? He didn't decide to kill her. He didn't let hate rise up on the inside of him and say, "I'm going to stone you to death." What did Jesus decide to do instead? Jesus said what? "I'll forgive you. Has anyone condemned you? No, neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin." He forgave her. And that's got to be our attitude in life, friends. We have got to walk in an attitude of forgiveness toward our offenders. You know, think about it. If Jesus can forgive such a great offense as this in John chapter 8, and we as human beings can't forgive the offenses of others towards us, what is that doing? We've all sinned against God, and Jesus said it. We've all sinned against God. We've all committed offenses against God. God has forgiven us, right? But if we're not able to forgive the offenses of others towards us, where is that putting us in relation to God? In a sense, it's almost like in our minds we're putting ourselves above God. Because God has forgiven us of such great offenses. He's forgiven us of all the sins we committed up until the point of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if we say to ourselves, to our offenders, "I can't forgive you. I'm going to hold it against you. You owe me this. You owe me that. You owe me the other thing." If we say that to our offenders, we're putting ourselves above God. And that is pride. And the Word of God says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the... Grace to the what? Grace to the humble. Just like Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery, what are we to do with our offenders? What are we to do? Forgive them. Exactly. Now, Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And he says this. 4:32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Forgiving, he says, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God in what area? Be imitators of God in Ephesians 5:1 in the area of forgiveness. Friend, whenever you want to get bitter against somebody, whenever you want to get angry and hateful towards somebody who has offended you to the point of wanting to kill them, remember of the sin and the offense that we committed against God and how He forgave us. He didn't hold us responsible. He released us. He let it go. He released us of the debt when we made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. Whenever we want to get bitter, angry, and hateful, remember what God did for us. And if we could remember that, it'll be easier to forgive our offenders. Amen? Is that making sense? Forgiving just as God in Christ forgave you. Now, forgiveness. You have got to do what? You have got to choose to forgive. Now, if you choose not to forgive your offender, what do you end up doing? Think about it. You end up doing what? You end up blocking the mercy of God from flowing into your life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What is he saying? What is he saying in this? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive your offenders, God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive your offenders, God won't forgive you. What happens when you don't forgive? If you're not walking in forgiveness towards others, plain and simple from the scripture, God is not walking in forgiveness towards you. If you're not walking in forgiveness towards your offenders, you block the mercy of God from flowing into your life. Making sense? Think of your life as a water hose. Or think of your life even as this, as a gutter downspout. You know, in houses they've got gutters, and then you got a pipe coming down where the water goes down. Now, sometimes when those pipes are clogged at the top, water overflows. It can't go through the pipe. The gutter downspout, right? And the water just overflows, has no free flow. It's the same way with us. If we're full of bitterness and unforgiveness on the inside, that pipe is blocked. God's mercy, His grace cannot freely operate through our lives. It's straight from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. But instead, we've got to choose to do what? We've got to choose to do what? Choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. You know that forgiveness is a choice? It's not a feeling. If forgiveness were based on feeling, nobody would do it because forgiveness doesn't feel good. It's tough to do. It's hard to do. If forgiveness felt good on the inside, it gave you the warm fuzzies, you know, forgiveness were that easy, everybody would do it. But forgiveness doesn't give us the warm fuzzies. It's not easy to do. It's a tough thing. So we've got to choose to forgive our offenders. Is that making sense? Offenses will come, but forgiveness is an option. Offenses are bound to come, but forgiveness is an option. It's a choice. Let me read you this. It says this. From the speaker's quote book, admitting that his captors did great wrong to me and my family, freed American hostage Terry Anderson said, I don't hate anybody. I'm a Christian and a Catholic, and it's really required of me that I forgive no matter how hard that may be, and I intend to do that. What was he saying? He was saying, you know what? I choose. I decide to forgive. Even though it's really tough, like walking on nails, I'm still going to do it. Amen? According to a story in the Minnesota Christian Chronicle, Kim Puck, a Vietnamese, was invited to Washington in 1996 to speak at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. As she spoke, she said she would forgive the pilot who bombed her town if they were to meet. Incredibly, the pilot, John Plummer, was in the audience. He had heard that Kim would be there, so he came to hear her speak. After the ceremony, the two met. Plummer repeated, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Kim replied, it's all right. I forgive. Isn't that amazing? Say it with me today. I will choose to forgive my offender no matter how hard it is. And when it gets hard, friend, that I'm here to tell you today, I said it's like walking on glass, walking on nails, to forgive offenders. When it gets hard and you can't do it, cry out to God and say, God, I don't have the strength in myself to forgive, but God, I thank you for your grace. Your ability, your divine empowerment to forgive my offender. And remember another thing. You can't base your forgiveness on another person's response. So say somebody joked about your weight. and you really took it offensively. It became a root of bitterness on the inside. And you approached this person and said, you know what, you really offended me when you joked about my weight. And the person was like, man, I didn't mean to offend you. I was just joking with you. They respond that way. Well, guess what? Forgive them anyway. You can't base your forgiveness on that person's response. Just let it go anyway in Jesus' name. Amen? Is that making sense? All right. Remember this. If you starve unforgiveness and walk in love toward God and others, if you starve unforgiveness and walk in love, you grow your love walk with God, others and God. Let me say it again. If you starve unforgiveness and walk in love, you grow your love walk with God and others. But if you feed bitterness, you starve your love walk. And the tree of hatred can grow on the inside of you, making your life a total mess. Let me say that again. If you feed bitterness by talking about it, by thinking about your offender, then you starve your love walk. You're feeding bitterness and you're starving your love walk. And then a tree of hatred can grow on the inside of you and it can make your life a major mess. I don't want to be there. I don't want a tree of hatred growing on the inside of me. How about you? Say no in Jesus' name. I don't want hatred growing on the inside of me. I want God's love on the inside of me, right? That's what we have to have, is God's love on the inside. But we need to let it go and ask for God's grace and strength when it gets tough. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that at the beginning of 2012, offenses will come tonight. They will come tomorrow. They will come next week. If you decide to hold on to those offenses and plant them in the soil of your heart, 2012 is going to be a tough year. It could be tougher for you this year than 2011 was. If you hold it on the inside, it could be a really tough year. I don't want God's blessings blocked from my life. How about you? I want there to be a free flow of God's blessings in my life. I've got to forgive, and so do you. Amen?